President Trump's 17-day vacation to his private New Jersey golf club began today. The White House is calling it a, quote, working vacation as he and the rest of his staff move out of the West Wing, which is undergoing renovations.
Most presidents do take vacations, but President Trump's is getting additional attention given his past statements. He criticized former President Obama for his time away from the White House and often spoke about how much golf Obama played.
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf, and he's going to be in Hawaii, I think. Did they say for 3 weeks? How can a president, for 3 weeks? I don't have time for that. I love golf. I think it's one of the greats, but I don't have time. 250 rounds, that's more than a guy who plays on the PGA Tour plays. He played more golf last year than Tiger Woods.
But there's a long tradition of presidents taking vacations and getting criticism for it, too. Kenneth C. Davis joins us now. He's a historian and the author of Don't Know Much About History, Everything You Need to Know About American History But Never Learned, and other books of the series. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. It's great to be back with you. And I guess we should say right off the top of the show here that no good vacation goes unpunished, especially when it comes to presidential vacations. Nancy Reagan, of course, once said in defense of her husband's frequent trips to California, presidents don't get vacations, they just get a change of scenery. And I think that's probably a very accurate and appropriate way to start this conversation.
Yeah, and it seems like this has been a regular tradition for some time. Well, you can tell us how far it goes back. President takes time off to the extent that a president is ever off the clock. And then the other party criticizes the president for that. How far back does this debate go?
Well, John Adams got criticized.
He was really early there, too.
Yes, and we're talking about the second president for leaving Philadelphia for way too long. Part of the problem there was that they were in the midst of a yellow fever epidemic, and so that was part of his, I suppose, very good reason for leaving in the summertime. And so certainly part of it goes back to the notion that that the Congress used to leave, even though the recess is a fairly recent creation from the 1970s, but Congress used to leave Washington regularly in the summertime because in the days before air conditioning, because if you know Washington, it's not a pleasant place to be in July and August. So it was always expected, anticipated that presidents and Congress would take the dog days of summer elsewhere. And certainly there are many, many presidents who have long traditions of taking lengthy stays away from Washington, D.C. But of course, especially in the modern age, you're never far away from the job. And I guess that man carrying what they call the football, or perhaps woman, that officer carrying the so-called football, the nuclear codes, is a constant reminder that you're never really away from the job when you're president of the United States.
When we look at President Trump's time off so far, and then this vacation, this working vacation, as he's calling it, starting now, how does he compare to previous, maybe recent presidents?
Well, the record holder, it seems, in recent years, I think, is still George W. Bush. At the same point, at one point in his presidency, he was well over 500 days of vacation in 8 years. I don't know if that works out. The Washington Post is pretty good about keeping track of all these presidential vacations. But of course, again, anytime the president is away from the Oval Office, he still is surrounded by his cadre of advisors, military and otherwise. He's still taking phone calls, whether they come at 3 a.m. or in the middle of the afternoon. There's a tremendous amount of work that is done. So it's not as if the president is, you know, pulling the headphones off and putting his feet up on a beach chair or a golf cart for those 17 days. So You know, this to me seems in some respects to be much ado about nothing. And of course, many terrible things happen in August. I am reminded of, for instance, that August 6, 1945 is a date that is, you know, we will be marking in a couple of days, the day that Harry Truman made the decision to drop the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. So August might be the dog days, but a lot of serious things happen in August.
Talking to Ken Davis, historian, author of Don't Know Much About History and a lot of other books in that series, looking at presidential vacations. Ken, there's been criticism of the president, not so much necessarily over him taking the vacation now, but over doing it after what he had said about President Obama, his predecessor, and his vacations. Is there something there?
Well, I think so. I mean, it would be one thing if he were just taking the vacation and hadn't laid down this very, very serious marker, which he did during the campaign on more than one occasion. And President Obama was absolutely excoriated many times, not just by candidate Trump, but by the conservative media and other people who thought that President Obama going off to Martha's Vineyard for 2 weeks in August with his family, while there were terrible things happening in Iraq, was a great offense against the nation. Again, every president before and since will probably have to deal with this. It's a soft target, after all, to hit. But President Obama was golfing, and that was specifically what candidate Trump singled out. And of course, as many people have been documenting these days, this is a president who has spent a fair amount of time on the golf course, his own and others, since taking office in January.
Yeah, it seems like there's a whole social media subgenre, if you don't like whichever president it is, put a picture of a really serious current headline next to a picture of said president playing golf. You see this a lot.
It's a pretty easy target. Again, you think about Barack Obama on Martha's Vineyard, and there were very bad headlines coming out of Iraq. In fact, he then had to have a press conference while he was there, probably something he wouldn't have done if he had been in Washington. But it becomes then a point of contention. And so just to make it clear that the president is paying attention, they trot him out and make sure that the cameras are rolling. This is all part of this kabuki drama of the presidency that has been heightened, especially in the age of social media and 24-hour cable news, where people need to have something to talk about all the time. And very often they're talking about some things that don't really matter when there are very important things that we should be talking about.
You know, President, I haven't done the job myself. It looks like it'd be a lot of work and a lot of stress. Are people out there making the case in general that, yes, presidents need whatever chill time they can find?
I think that that's a really fair thing to say about any president, regardless of party or politics. Of course, there were some presidents who really took things kind of easy. I think Harding was known to be not such a terribly hard worker in his day, Warren G. Harding. But, I have trouble sleeping at night if I, haven't paid my bills on time, or if I think I haven't paid my bills on time, the check. So I can't really imagine what it is like to be the president, to have all of this on your plate all of the time. And they must have, really, some must have nerves of steel to get through it. Americans are not very good, by the way, at vacationing to begin with. And so this whole kind of Puritan notion that if you're having fun, you're not working hard is part of what's in play here as well. So there's a lot of cultural and American curiosities about this. I'm sure the Europeans think we're all crazy for even discussing this question. They have no problem with going away for the month of August.
We're talking to American historian Ken Davis about presidential vacations as President Donald Trump kicks off a vacation today at his private New Jersey golf club.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of the 17 days the president is taking off on vacation starting today? Did you agree with his criticisms of President Obama for taking time away from the White House? And do you think presidents should be limited in the amount of vacation time that they take? You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with American historian Ken Davis, looking at presidential vacations. President Trump's begins today at his golf club in New Jersey. It comes after he said he wouldn't take time away from the White House and criticized then-President Obama for his vacations.
And you can weigh in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us what you think of the president's decision to go on a 17-day vacation today. Do you think presidential vacation should be limited? Why or maybe why not? And should the cost come out of taxpayers' pockets? Do you think President Trump or other presidents have taken too much time away from the White House? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go right to our callers. Claire is with us in Madison. Claire, hi.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Veronica. I don't necessarily have as much a problem with the golfing part of it, which is rather ironic. But what I do have a big problem with is, and imagine if President Obama had done this, or any other president. He brings this huge staff along. He's closing the whole West Wing down, so, I don't know, a couple hundred employees? I have no idea how many. Then he rents them rooms, meals, golf carts for security. That's another issue, security. But he's profiting from taking them there. And the other issue, I'd like to know what this remodel is costing. He must have planned that practically from day one. Are we going to have gold-plated sinks in the West Wing now?
Clara, thanks for the call. Let's take those one at a time, Ken. One difference, people are saying, hey, this is his private for-profit business, and the government is on the hook to pay for all the staff to pay rent, in effect, to his business.
Well, that's been an issue with this president from day one, that the word emoluments has been tossed around more in the last 6 months than it has in the last 60 years, probably because of this question of the president using his personal facilities and getting reimbursed for it. A lot of people have ethical and perhaps even legal questions that they feel that this raises. The question of the president going away and taking staff is always part of the deal because presidents have large entourages of people. I'm reminded, for instance, of Gerald Ford took a lot of flack when he went skiing in Aspen. I think it was Aspen. It might have been Vail, but one of those two kind of she ski resorts. And he was criticized because it was a recession, and he took all these Secret Service men with him, and they all had to know how to ski, and they had to rent skis. So, you know, these become almost absurd in a sense. And by the way, I just want to fact check myself here. According to the Washington Post, it was George Bush who was the most vacationed president. He had 879 days, which seems like an awful lot of vacation time during his two terms in office.
And she had mentioned the West Wing renovation. I had read, I think this is true, this is actually an HVAC. Speaking of that air conditioning in Washington, D.C., this is to an overdue repair to the heating and cooling system there.
That is correct. This is apparently, according to The Hill, work on the 27-year-old heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system at the White House. So that's, you know, again, if you've been in Washington in August, you want to make sure the air conditioning works, and so that this seems not to have been any kind of renovation of the White House quarters at the request of President Trump, but apparently deferred maintenance.
Clara, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Andy in Sebula, Iowa. Andy, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Andy?
I just turned on the radio, and I listen to this program all the time. Thank you for that,
thanks,
by the way, for being on, you know. I heard they were discussing about the president taking time off and, like, regulating or not. I don't think you should regulate if he's how many days he could take off, because he's got to deal with the world's problem. I mean, I know you can't take, like, 6 months off, because that is a long time. You still got to take care of everything. But you brought up George Bush taking, like, 800 days off. Why am I not shocked? I have nothing bad to say. Just one thing I got to say is that George Bush must have been living that dream, right? Hanging out with his friends all the time.
And Andy, thanks for the call. Andy says, yeah, we don't need to regulate or limit presidential vacations as long as it stays within reason. Ken, no argument there?
No argument from me. I think perhaps the caller missed. I think it's fair saying again that Mrs. Reagan said presidents don't get vacations, they get a change of scenery. But George Bush, for instance, George W. Bush, when he went off to Texas, my recollection seeing him, he wasn't playing so much golf, although his father was, I think, a pretty big golfer. But we'd see him, you know, clearing brush.
Clearing that brush. Right. There was always the picture, yep.
Clearing brush or occasionally mountain biking. And that, you know, that seems to be, perhaps a more acceptable form of a vacation for a president as opposed to playing a round of golf. Now, golf happens to be a favorite of presidents going back a long time. There's an extraordinary photograph, for instance, of William Howard Taft, the most portly of presidents, playing golf. It's a rather comic photo, and you can pull it up from the Library of Congress, I think. Dwight Eisenhower also was a constant golfer, really a serious golfer. So there's nothing new about presidents and golf. Many presidents used to be typical presidential activity for a lot of the earlier presidents was fishing. George Washington would go fishing, in fact. He liked to go fishing, but Coolidge was a big fly fisherman, as was Harding. And these questions really become moot, I think, when we do remember that at any moment the president may get a phone call that will require a decision that can affect the entire world. And so they are going to be taking people with them. Apparently about 200, we were talking about the entourage that comes, 200 people accompany the president. We're talking about aides and Secret Service agents and military advisors, and they have to have obviously carefully maintained equipment to so everything's secure. So this is a moving of the White House in many respects, and not just the president flying off with a few friends to sip cool drinks and ride around in the golf cart.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. As we talk to Ken Davis, a historian, author of Don't Know Much About History, and scads of other books on American history, looking at presidential vacations, past and present. You mentioned that security issue, Ken, and I was doing some background here. I know James Garfield, President Garfield, the second president in the United States to be assassinated. What I hadn't known it was at the beginning of a vacation.
That's right. He was walking out of he was leaving Washington and going to Union Station. Again, this is, the times were very, very different. The president could probably at that time have walked down many streets and be unnoticed in a time before, the president's face was so recognizable. But indeed, he was shot on the way to the train to go to, I believe it was New Jersey. And in fact, he then was taken to New Jersey, where he lingered for months in terrible pain. So that was, one of the downsides to heading off for that vacation. Obviously, security around the president becomes more and more of an issue when they're away from the confines of Washington, D.C., which is a much more controllable situation for the most part. We also now understand that the Secret Service and the Trump people are having some problems about where the Secret Service is staying when they're guarding the New York office. And apparently they've been moved to a trailer outside on the streets of Manhattan instead of within the Trump Tower itself. So this president has certainly posed a unique set of problems for the typical security detail.
Ken, looking back at presidential vacations, do any others, apart from ones we've talked about, stand out to you as particularly memorable or unusual for presidential vacations?
Well, one that stands out in my mind is less a vacation than the fact that FDR used to go to Warm Springs in Georgia to relief of his polio and his paralysis, and it was there in 1945, of course, April 1945, not a summer vacation, but a stay in Warm Springs that he dies. So that was a fairly extraordinary moment in presidential trips away from home. It was Harding who also dies on a trip, although it wasn't a vacation. It was much more of a typical campaign trip. He was out west and died in San Francisco of presumably a heart attack.
Apart from those tragic incidents, though, is there generally a sense as we wrap up, Ken, that, hey, it's good for the president to get out of D.C. for their mental health, if not their physical health?
Well, in ordinary circumstances, I would say we all acknowledge it's good to decompress, get away, maybe talk to different people, see different things, recharge our batteries. All of those things go with the idea of a vacation. I just come back to the original point, which is that I don't really think a president ever escapes the office goes with him and its duties and its responsibilities. And they must be an incredible burden that, as I mentioned earlier, can't even imagine how that can keep you from sleeping at night.
Ken, thanks as always for joining us.
And enjoy your vacation if you get one. And we won't keep track of how many days you go golfing.
Just back, and I lost count. I'm not a golfer myself. Thanks to Ken Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History and other books in that series. Join us to talk about the tradition of presidential vacations.